Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio, 103.1 FM, 910, 980 AM, or anywhere on that free Odyssey app. You can also catch us anywhere you get your favorite podcast. Just search the Rob O'Donnell Show. Favorite us and get it downloaded right to your inbox each and every day. We put out from 3 to 5 podcasts each and every day. It's a breakup of the day's 3-hour show, so check us out there. It is 92 degrees at this almost 4:11 here on this Tuesday, August 12th, 2025. How's everybody doing today? I believe there's one of them Rail Rider games today. I think I may be stopping by there after the show tonight if you're planning to be at the Rail Rider game. It's a beautiful night for it. So say hello if we bump into each other. So a couple of things. The explosion at that U.S. steel plant in Pennsylvania has now left 2 dead and 10 injured, based on reports from the Associated Press. I did see that Senator John Fetterman was on scene there for many hours yesterday. And kudos to him for responding to the scene and being there and, being hands-on. It's great to see that sort of thing from our political leaders, that they actually go there. And listen, I think he's may disagree on a lot of things, but I think he's a genuine guy. I think he generally cares about humanity. And it was good to see that he was there and he was making posts saying, that he was still there and still, with some of the families and such. That's a good thing. One worker was found alive in the wreckage hour after the explosions, sent black smoke spiraling into the midday sky. There's video from a surveillance camera, I guess, across the way that shows this, that it was just an incredible. It will be under investigation, what happened here. And with these steel mills, it's a volatile area to work. Things do happen. I mean, I think... Hey, Jake, isn't that how Rudy's friend dies, right? And Rudy, they were at the steel mill, and, something went wrong. There was an accident, and an explosion happened and killed. That's what sent Rudy to Notre Dame. He had enough of his home life and decided to change direction in life. So these things do happen. It will be under investigation. I saw the governor was making an announcement, too, that OSHA is going to be looking at it, and there's going to be an investigation. But the fact that they did find one worker alive in the wreckage hours after the explosion, it just goes to show how the Allegheny County Emergency Services and first responders, truly shine in moments like this and don't give up until, everything is said and done. At a news conference, the U.S. Steel Chief's manufacturing officer did not give details about the damage or casualties and said that they were trying to determine what happened. The U.S. Steel employees did a great job of going in and rescuing workers, shutting down gases, and making sure the site was stable. If you watch the video, there seemed to be one main explosion and then several smaller explosions that happen. And it'll be interesting to see, because hopefully they find out what did go wrong so it doesn't happen again. So that's just a little update on that. I know they've been talking about it on some of the news breaks as well. So the U.S. and China has come to an agreement, extended tariff truce by 90 days, staving off a surge in duties. It also sent the stock markets out of control today. I'm not sure where they ended up, but earlier today they were on quite a run. And it just goes to show how the speculative bond stock markets, react to anything. But the United States and China extended the tariff truce for 90 days, staving off triple-digit duties on each other's goods as U.S. retailers get ready to ramp up inventories ahead of the critical end-of-year holiday season. And 90 days, you think about it, Halloween stuff has been out already. You're going to have the Thanksgiving and Christmas stuff out very shortly. I even have friends that are already starting to decorate for Halloween, and I don't know. Hey, listen, if they get enjoyment, I got to learn. If they get enjoyment out of it, I got to stop being so judgmental. But if it's August, not even the middle of August, and you're already decorating for Halloween, oh, come on now. And then Christmas, right, the easy transition. Christmas does not start until Santa Claus goes down Fifth Avenue and walks into Macy's on Thanksgiving Day. Stop at anything before that. But 90-day truce does exactly what this report from the Business Magazine is saying, that it will help retailers stock up and get ready to ramp up inventories ahead of the end-of-year holiday season. U.S. President Donald Trump announced on his Truth Social platform that he had signed an executive order suspending the imposed higher tariffs until midnight Eastern Standard Time on November 10th, with all other elements of the truce to remain in place. China's Commerce Ministry issued a parallel pause on extra tariffs earlier on Tuesday, also postponing for 90 days the addition to U.S. firms it had targeted in April to trade and investment restriction list. The United States continues to have discussions with the PRC to address the lack of trade agreements in our economic relationship and our resulting national and economic security concerns, Trump's executive order stated, using the acronym for the People's Republic of China. Through these discussions, the PRC continues to take significant steps towards remedying non-reciprocal trade agreements and addressing the concerns of the United States relating to economic and national security matters. The truce between Beijing and Washington had been due to expire today at midnight. The extension until early November buys critical time for seasonal autumn surge of imports for the Christmas season, including electronics, apparel, and toys and other tariff. The new order prevents U.S. tariffs on Chinese goods from shooting up to 145%, while Chinese tariffs on U.S. goods were set to hit 125%, rates that would have resulted in a virtual trade embargo between the two countries. It locks in place, at least for now, a 30% tariff on Chinese imports, with Chinese duties on U.S. imports at 10%. We'll see what happens, Trump told a news conference earlier yesterday, highlighting what he called a good relationship with Chinese President Xi Jinping. Now, here's the thing. This is a game of chicken. There's no doubt that that's exactly what this is. But like I've said all along for months here, Americans have become accustomed to cheap Chinese goods. You know, Amazon, and these sites where, you know, it's nice to just get something relatively cheap, even if it's not the name brand, but it's close enough. And some of them are pretty close, if not made in the same exact factory a lot of times. But China depends on our economy. They need us, where we've just become accustomed. So we have the edge as far as that goes, but do we have the resolve? Do we have the willpower? China is also well aware that they could keep their people in line to where you have a two-party system here that will just attack each other and politicize everything, creating division, which makes it harder. So that does balance out to where they need our economy, they need our imports, they need us taking their imports. But they could quiet the storm from their people and their economy, where here it's a free-for-all, attacking for political reasons, especially with midterms coming up. So it needs to go somewhere in 90 days. It will be a lose-lose for everyone, them more so, but politically it'll be a hit here as well. So you have to balance that out, and I'm sure they are. But if you just look at the graphs as far as what has been done over time, we have been taken advantage of as a U.S. economy. We have been taken advantage of as a U.S. consumer, because they do have basically slave labor building their stuff. How are you going to compete with that? So we have to level that playing field. But the mistake was made decades ago to open up our economy to China for cheap manufacturing. And it's not just that now. It's India. It's all these places now, to where this retooling that's going on now is a transition. It's difficult. But I think the argument that Americans won't do a lot of these jobs, I think it's just false. If you pay a proper wage to anyone, they'll do a job. So it's a good thing. This 90-day, again, brings us right before the Christmas season. they'll stock up heavily. So I think you'll see a large boom because you know what? If these manufacturers, if these companies are buying more stock than they normally would because they have 90 days to do it, well, you have to look at the impacts on our economy that that benefits. Increased trucking, increased transportation, increased stocking, increased warehouse workers to store and place this stuff, transport it as the seasons go on to the store because obviously the stores can't display it all. So this boom in our economy, it will be beneficial. A 90-day lets stock everything and more so in our retailers will definitely trickle down to the everyday worker, the truck drivers, the manufacturers, the warehouse workers, the people who pick orders, the people who pack these orders, the people who place them on the trucks, transport them, trains, you know, trucks and everything else, the shipping from overseas that'll take place, the dock workers. This will help our economy in more ways than we tend to realize it. So once you open up your spectrum to, hey, this isn't just, get my Christmas gifts in. Look at the trickle down to the American worker across all those spectrums that it does actually help, down to the retail person who's working at places like these department stores, these outlets, and everywhere else. So we'll see where it goes. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show. 427, 92 degrees on this Tuesday, August 12th, 2025. So there was a shooting outside a hookah lounge, leaves one dead in Wilkes-Barre. And this seems to have been stemmed from an ongoing dispute or argument between two women, which is unusual. Police said an accidental bump inside the hookah club led to the shooting and death of a woman early Saturday morning. According to witnesses, one woman accidentally bumped into another woman at the after-hours party, resulting in a confrontation between the two women. One of the women followed the other one out of the lounge to where she brandished a handgun and shot the other in the throat before speeding away. The victim was taken to a local hospital where she was pronounced dead. And the other individual was identified and is currently being held without bail in Luzerne County Correctional Facility. Just a tragic situation that no regard for human life. You hear, regardless if there was, and there are other stories out there that said there was an ongoing dispute between these two women, an ongoing beef between them, whatever that may be. You don't take out a gun and shoot someone in the neck simply because there was a beef. If they bumped into you or you felt disrespected or whatever that is. But supposedly the one woman, the victim, was out in the parking lot across the street with some friends. And this woman came out, approached them, took the gun out, brandished it, and then they saw a muzzle flash similar to what you would see when someone discharges a firearm. And the woman go down and people scatter. The woman then smiled, some of the witnesses said, as she looked over the body and the woman bleeding, turned to get in her minivan, and there was another woman with her that had her things in the minivan that grabbed her stuff real quick to get it out because obviously she didn't want to be associated with someone who just shot someone. And the shooter almost ran over the woman who had her belongings in her minivan and rushed out of there. But again, she was easily identified. Police followed up and is now in custody. But just goes to show how volatile these things get very quickly. And it's, a dispute like this, firearm involved with women, it doesn't say their ages, at least in this story here. But after hours party, hookah lounge, probably not good things going to happen. I believe this was early into the morning, late evening, when it took place. So it just goes to show how dangerous things get very quickly. And I mean, on the thankful side of things, thankfully she didn't open up on the entire crowd. Who knows what type of firearm it was? Who knows how many round she had, but could have done a lot of damage because there was reportedly a group of people there when this woman was shot. And, a neck shot, was she aiming for the face? Was she aiming for the head? Regardless, it was enough to kill this woman over a dispute and feeling disrespected, I guess. And you never know what's going through someone's mind. I would imagine this time in the morning at a hookah lounge and in after hours, there was alcohol involved. But that's, again, no excuse for the taking of a human life over something so minuscule. It's coming up on 4:31 here at WILK. Time for the news with Paul Michaels. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. It's the point of the show where we honor our heroes here in law enforcement who made the ultimate sacrifice on this day, August 12th, here in the Commonwealth. We're going to start off with Police Officer Robert N. Yeezy, Ben Salem Township Police Department, on this day in 1980, was killed when he was struck by a vehicle on a pedestrian stop. While talking to an individual, he brandished a knife, causing the officer to back up, and all three were struck by an automobile. The driver of the car was not charged. The headlights from the police vehicle blinded her, and she did not see them. The suspect was convicted of aggravated assault on a police officer and incarcerated. Next, we have Police Officer Carl F. Kohler, Philadelphia Police Department in Pennsylvania, on 1943 on this day. He was killed in an automobile accident. He was rushing an injured 3-year-old girl to the hospital after a traffic accident when his patrol car was rammed by another vehicle at 9th and Spruce Street. He died at Philadelphia General Hospital. He'd been on the force for 20 months. The girl was treated and released. Special Policeman T. Edgar Rice, Pennsylvania Coal and Iron Police Department in Pennsylvania, 1911. Policeman Edgar Rice was shot and killed along Doe Run Road while investigating the sounds of gunfire near the Worth Brothers Steel Mill outside of Coatesville, Pennsylvania. The steel company worker had become drunk during the day, fired several shots as a warning to other men as he attempted to get home. Policeman Rice located the man, was attempting to arrest him, but the man was able to shoot him twice. Subject fled the scene, but was located by a posse a short time later. He shot himself in the head in the attempt to commit suicide, but only injured himself. He was taken to Coatesville Hospital, where an angry mob forcibly removed and lynched him. That was in 1911. And Watchman Robert McGuffin, Philadelphia Night Watch, Pennsylvania, in 1828. He succumbed to injuries sustained the previous day when he was struck in the head while trying to quell a riot near the intersection of North 3rd Street and George Street. Fellow officers had arrested a man in a home for disorderly conduct when a crowd formed around them and started to toss objects at them. The officers requested assistance, and when officers arrived, Watchman Guffin was struck in the head with a cobblestone, fracturing his skull. He was taken home, where he was treated by doctors and succumbed to his injuries the next day. That was 1828. I think that's the earliest date that we've had here on the show that we've talked about. So those are our – what do we have today? Those are our four from today. On this day, August 12th, in history throughout the Commonwealth, who made the ultimate sacrifice in law enforcement. It's coming up on 4:40 here at WILK. I believe we have a – Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. It's time for Today in History, because how do we know where we're going unless we remember where we've been? So let's see what we have. Here's a snapshot of August 12th in U.S. history, some pivotal events on this day. 1676, King Philip's War ends. The Native American chief Metacomet, King Philip, is killed, marking a crucial turning point in the colonial-native relations. Revolutionary era, 1776, General George Washington warns of a potential British naval blockade of New York, noting troop challenges from smallpox and desertion. 1851, Isaac Singer receives the U.S. patent for his approved sewing machine, revolutionizing garment production. 1851, the invention and patent of the Singer sewing machine. 1877, Thomas Edison invents the phonograph, the first device to record and play back sound. 1898, The Spanish-American War formally ends, with Spain ceding territories including Puerto Rico, Guam, and the Philippines to the U.S. Some tech milestones here. 1960, the United States launches Echo 1, its first communication satellite, a large Mylar balloon transmitting a message from President Eisenhower. 1981, IBM introduces the IBM personal computer model 5150. Remember that? Marking the dawn of the PC era. 1985, Japan Airlines Flight 123 crashes near Tokyo, resulting in 520 fatalities, the worst single aircraft disaster in history. 1985. In 2000, the Russian submarine Kursk sinks in the Barents Sea during exercises, killing all 118 crew members aboard. 1972, U.S. ground combat troops are officially withdrawn from Vietnam. 1972 on this day. Some birthday observations and others. Born on this day, Porter Wagoner, legendary Grand Ole Opry star. 1927, International Youth Day is observed annually on August 12th, spotlighting youth-related cultural and legal issues. So, August 12th, we have a day of contrast, innovation, tragedy. Share today's spotlight from groundbreaking inventions like the phonograph, 1877, to the sewing machine patent, 1851, and the launch of Echo 1, 1960. To somber moments like Flight 123 crash, 1985, and the Kursk disaster in 2000. A vivid tapestry of historical highlights and lows. For today, on this day, I did see that AOL has disabled its dial-up internet as well. So that's something, you can't get that sound anymore, right? You can call or text at 570-883-0098. Let's go to the phone now. We have Lee from Scranton. Lee, how are you?
I'm really good, Rob. You know, I just called into the fit today to say that I'm just amazed that the American people managed to elect Donald Trump to be president. And I don't think the people realize how great a job he's doing. I think we've got a lot of problem with Democrats and, you know, people that are lying to the American people about what's actually taking place in our country. But I think Donald Trump is trying to reclaim so many things and really, you know, like, it's not just about, you know, reclaiming D.C. It's about trade. It's about, you know, ending all these wars around the world. It's just it's just focused leadership in just a multiple of different directions. And I don't think the Democrats need to know what to do with that. And it's like I said to you before, Rob, and I know you disagreed with me at that time, but I think that the Democratic Party is a threat to America and a terrorist organization. And the more I see the stance they take, the more I know that they're a very serious problem for our country. And it's not just what's going to go on in New York City when they elect somebody who's calling themselves a Democrat and the pain and suffering that's going to take place there, but it's their policies all over the country. You know, the transgender issues and the sex change operations on children, their stands on public education and the dumbing down of American students. I mean, the list just goes on and on and on and on. And, you know, when you take a look at Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton and all the things they did with the Russian hoax and the whole infrastructure built around it, the Democrats have been lying to the American people for my whole lifetime. And when you take a look at what they're doing to the city of Scranton over my entire lifetime, it's beyond ridiculous. And you were talking about, you know, the Hilltop Terrace project. There's just no reason for a project like that to proceed because it's not going to contribute anything to the people.
It's actually going to take resources away from the people. I mean, you're talking 36 families, but the resources that it will require in a 10-year tax abatement and then 40 years of taxes, but then it goes to a nonprofit, the Scranton Housing Authority, to where it won't be taxed again. So long term, it will be a financial burden on the area rather than a help. But again, for the nearsighted short-term politicians, it gets their box checked for their next step.
Well, Rob, you have to ask yourself, how can the residents of Scranton be so ignorant or stupid to allow this thing to happen and to continue happening over my entire lifetime, going all the way back to probably the 1920s or 30s, where the city's been in a decline, and then they turned the city of Scranton into a welfare state, I'd have to say in the early 1970s, maybe a little before that. And, you know, the people that could flee, they fled, and then they blamed the landlords for all the problems in the city, and there's just been no change. I mean, and you take a look at the pension debt in the state of Pennsylvania. I don't know what our future is.
Well, there's a lot of that going around. When I speak to state representatives in Harrisburg, our budget and future does not look good. The rainy day fund is being dwindled down to nothing. You know, we have a spend happy governor. But look at Lackawanna County, the same thing. When you look at the map of all the red counties versus blue counties, you know, Lackawanna County is that only blue standout that's there. And when you look at the financial condition of all the other counties compared to Lackawanna County, that should answer a lot of questions for a lot of people, but it doesn't. So when you say, you know, what's going on with the voters of Scranton, I ask the same thing for the voters of Lackawanna County, for the voters of Pennsylvania coming up in the future, and right now the voters in New York City. You know, what are they thinking, you know, for their own destruction?
I'm a truck driver, so I've gone in and out of New York City over most of my lifetime. And, you know, I haven't been there since COVID, but in my opinion, you know, New York is a wonderful place to just be and see how diverse it is and how good it could be. But having made a lot of deliveries outside the city, I know that the residents outside New York City just can't pay the amount of taxation to keep that city afloat. And I think the greatest thing that could happen for that city, and I've never lived there, would for them to stop subsidizing that city and let it settle and let them make the changes necessary to turn it around. I mean, we talk about capitalism, but when you look at New York City with all the rent controls and all the other things that are taking place, it's like a little socialist haven inside New York that people just can't afford to feed anymore.
But that just came to light where you have this mayoral candidate who makes $145,000 a year, both parents are wealthy, living in a rent-controlled, stabilized apartment in Astoria, Queens. That comes out. The public knows about it. They don't care. And that's what is mind-boggling to me.
Well, the last comment I have is that we have a mayor of Scranton who doesn't even live in the city, and the council doesn't care. And I've talked to some of her neighbors around her property in Scranton, and everybody knows she doesn't live here. But then you have to ask the question, you know, how can she be on the ballot? And how can people go out and vote for her? And the other thing is, why doesn't the city council, under the Home Rule Charter, do an investigation and figure out exactly where she does reside?
Well, she does own a house in Scranton. She has a residence in Scranton. If she lives there or not, you know, I've heard all different stories when it comes to that. But she does meet the legal requirement for being in elected office. She has a residence in Scranton. You know, who's to say that that's not her permanent residence or not? That's almost impossible to figure out. I mean, are they going to look at the electric use out of both the homes? And, you know, I think an investigation would clear things up. I think she should welcome an investigation to say, yeah, look at these things. When I do a search on the tax base, you know, the only thing that comes up is the one house in Scranton. So, you know, who's the other house that they're living in then? Who owns it?
Well, the thing is, she's married, okay? And the other thing to ask is, why doesn't one of these candidates object or hire a private detective to figure out where she actually resides? Because just because you have a residence doesn't mean you reside there. And then when you're making decisions for the residents of the city and you don't live there, you can't be the mayor of Scranton if you don't live in the city of Scranton. It doesn't matter whether you have a residence there. You can own any property you want, but you have to actually live there.
Yeah, and I think it's going to be interesting when her kids reach school age to see what school district they go to. My guess would be they're going to go to private school to avoid any improprieties. But it's going to be interesting once those kids get school age to see what school district they're in. That's where there'll be a lot of tell. But by that point, I'm sure it'll be a next stepping stone, and Scranton will be far in the rearview mirror.
Well, you might be right, Rob, but you know what? The city of Scranton needs to turn itself around. We've gone the wrong way in my entire lifetime. We haven't offered any of the young people any reason to stay here. They've been leaving for decades and decades. A small amount like myself stay behind. I don't know why, but you know, you need to offer people a future. And to be honest with you, instead of doing all these pork barrel projects, they should be doing economic development projects to step in line with what President Trump is doing and try to bring some of the industries that are reshoring in America back to Scranton and give people hope and give them employment. Meaningful employment, any job is meaningful, but, you know, just an increasing wage base.
All right, Lee, so, I appreciate you checking in today.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right.
Bye.
It's 4:56 here at WILK. We'll be back. Well, that's it for the Rob O'Donnell Show here for the second hour. Coming up on the 5 o'clock hour, still 91 degrees outside. Beautiful evening tonight on this Tuesday, August 12th, 2025. I did get a text message in on what we were discussing there and says, which mortgage is her primary residence? Unless she discloses that on her own, that's going to be unknown. But Adam Schiff's official residence is in Maryland, and New York Attorney General's official residence is in Virginia. So is that really as telling as it should be? Because we've seen that before. And again, I've heard this back and forth, and I'm under the stance that she owns a house in Scranton. She meets the legal requirement to be there. If we're going to cut the dividing line to where does she really spend her nights and days – it's almost impossible to figure that out. But, you know, where do we go from here? Who knows?